And that's Chandler talking when we're already going. Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it, Chandler? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh, I can feel it.
Yep, that's Chandler St. Pierre, and I am Michael W. Dean, and Davi Barker is this is like breaking news or something. Davi Barker is running down the street. I just got an email from him from his chromed robot phone, his chromed robot turd. He was stuck on a train for 2 hours, and I guess the train in front of his train derailed or something, and I don't know. We'll have breaking news from him, because he just emailed me and said, I'm almost home, like four blocks. So he got off one stop early. You know, the train finally was moving, but taking forever. And he's running to get on this show. So he will be out of breath and telling us breaking news pretty soon here. So we're going to talk about the topic anyway until he gets here with Chandler St. Pierre and I. We often do shows just the two of us. It'll be fine. And it's basically all zombies all the time this week. We're doing three shows in a row that are fan shows of us fans talking about the show Walking Dead. Last night's show was called Night of the Living Worms. Tonight is Dawn of the Worms, and tomorrow is Day of the Worms. And it's going to be the Worms trilogy, the zombie trilogy. And you can go get my book, User's Manual for the Zombie Experience. I will put it in the show notes. And we're just going to do it, man, because we like it, but we also, nobody's really noticed what we're doing here. This is like political theater, because what other radio show in the country would go on conservative political talk radio where we're surrounded before and after our show with Hannity and Beck and, the other guy, Rush, and you know, the blonde Rush Limbaugh, and what are the lady Rush Limbaugh, all those alternate clones, as Ian Freeman calls them, and not talk about the fact that Barack Obama is a socialist, is a liar, and his feet stink, which is true, but just go on and talk about zombies for 3 days, man. What do you think, Chandler?
I think it's far more interesting.
Yeah, but you're weird, man.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever try out a software program and get signed up for the newsletters, and then like 4 years later, you're getting emails like, our new upgrade is ready for the holidays? And I'm like, what? I tried this and dumped it years ago. What is this?
Yeah, that's happened to me once or twice before. I finally learned. I've had the same email for, oh, I don't know, 16, 15 years now.
Yeah.
And I finally learned to hit the unsubscribe button at the bottom of several emails, because I'm getting emails that I really don't want. And sometimes they're from old products that I've tried a long time ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So you are a fan of the zombies, or at least of... See, you are not a fan of the zombies, and neither am I, which is why I never checked out this show. And then you said the magic words, which were, I hate zombies, but I like The Walking Dead. And So, yeah, I checked it out, and I watched all 4.5 seasons in one sitting. You're not quite caught up yet, are you?
No, I am on... I just finished the first episode of season 5 tonight, and it reminds me so much of Breaking Bad, because I did exactly the opposite with Breaking Bad. I was listening to you and Nemo one day, and you were like, I watched this show, Breaking Bad, and from the first episode I was hooked. So I watched them all. And
wait, how's that the opposite of me and Nemo, of Nemo and I? I was hooked from, we were both hooked from
No. You referred me to this, to the Breaking Bad, and I referred you to Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So, And then, you know, I got to, I think it was season five, and then there was the mid-season break and the last few episodes. And so now we're almost at that point. I know there's eight episodes left, or there's eight episodes aired in the fifth season of The Walking Dead, and then they're not coming back till February. And it's going to be a week-to-week thing, which is something I just loathe. It's why I don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
That and commercials.
Yeah, and I do. So
it,
I do
it'll be kind of sad once I finish up the eight episodes.
I do have to say, spoiler alert, I'm going to try to say that every half hour on this show, because if you're not caught up on this show, we are going to talk about particular plot points. So Davi and I were talking with Diana last night. I'll start with trying to get your take on this, of why do you think this show is so massively popular now?
I was thinking about that. I was listening to last night's show today on my commute, and I think there's a lot of different reasons, but one of them is it's, for lack of a better word, it's total anarchy.
That means something different in reality, which is how we use it, than to most people. People use the word anarchy to mean chaos and violence, and there is chaos and violence in it, but really all anarchy means is a lack of government. And you know, I would say a lack of government, because you can have voluntary oversight without government. Government to me implies it's forced on you.
Yeah. It's coercive.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things you see is when the various groups form, they're not necessarily coercive. People band together to survive, but I think it's such a, people see, even statists see the control mechanisms out there now. Whether you're a conservative, a liberal, or a libertarian in between, don't really care. You see that the systems are so put upon people to control them. And then when you're watching The Walking Dead, life is pretty simple. It's basically survive. That's it.
It's basically walk and don't be dead.
Right. There's not a lot of, there's not a lot of, how do I put it? There's not a lot of choices. There's not a lot of distractions.
You don't have to register your vehicle when it expires. You don't even know what month it is.
Yeah. And you just, that's the thing too. I got to thinking about how do they set their time? You know, it must be very general. Like, okay, I remember during this time of year, sunrise.
A couple people have watches. I know you haven't, you've gone through four seasons, right? And not any for season five?
Just the first one for season five.
Okay, in season five, they only have like six or seven episodes up. It's one of those, they're doing this a lot now on
mid-season breaks.
Addictive, sequential media on cable, which is really where, I mean, cable TV is kicking TV's butt. TV is old now, and people don't like it anymore. And Netflix is going even further to like making stuff that's as good or better than what's on AMC cable, and then releasing a whole season at once, which is that's how people consume media now. But they don't have the they're doing the mid season breaks. So like season five, they put up half of it, and the other half of it comes up next year sometime. But there's there's a couple people that have watches in there with calendars on them, and they're like, you know, keeping them when they don't keep, you know, jewelry or anything else that's fancy, but they keep their watch with their calendar, because to some people, the time and date is important, even though it is not for a survival mechanism.
And it wouldn't be for me. I mean, what's the old quote from Cheech and Chong in the skit? And he says, "You want to buy a watch, hippie?" He's like, "Nah, man, I'm not into time." And yeah.
Worn a watch since I was 14. I had a little Timex watch, you know, some family member gave me when I was 14, and I wore it for 4 or 5 months and then lost it and didn't bother to get another one. And and I basically, you know that old song that has that line, "Going where the weather suits my clothes." You know that song?
Yeah.
I've kind of done that. Like, basically, I didn't have a watch, so I structured my life in a way that I wouldn't need a watch.
That's the way to go, right?
Yeah, man.
The last watch I had, it's kind of funny. My grandmother and grandfather got me a pocket watch on Christmas. A really nice one, and I like pocket watches. They're great. But it's a We the People, you know, it's got the Constitutional Convention. And I got this when I was like 12 or 13. I still have it somewhere. It doesn't work, but go figure, huh?
And the reason I say ugh is, you know, I'm not anti-American. I love living in America most of the time when the government's not oppressing me. But yeah, the Constitution was kind of a bait and switch, kind of a shell game to put in a government and allow for the spread of tyranny over decades and millennia, or decades and, you know, for over time, while looking like it was something to limit government.
Yeah, you know, I basically now, when people give me the whole, oh, you don't think the Constitution's great, I don't even argue anymore or try to convince. I just say, do me a favor, go read Hologram of Liberty by Boston Tea Party, Kenneth Royce, and then come talk to me.
Yeah, but they won't.
And a lot of times, you're right, they won't. But if they do, cool. And that's it. You know, I have no time or patience anymore to go through all that with people, because I've found that most people don't want to expand their horizons. I don't want to go.
Most people don't want freedom, really. Yeah. And a lot of times the people that say, I love freedom, I love the freedoms of America, I love the Constitution, I love small government, a lot of times those people are in their own way as big government as Obama or Hillary. Because they want to keep their guns, and who wouldn't? And they want to choose their own doctor, but and who wouldn't? And they don't want to pay for somebody else's doctor, and that makes sense. But they're not consistent on freedoms. You know, I mean, anybody that wants a big military and a war on drugs is, you know, I've been watching this show. Speaking of zombies, political zombies, I've been watching this show, West Wing. Are you familiar with it?
I am. I've never watched it, but I know what it is.
My wife calls it Worst Wing. But it's written by, it's basically an episodic TV show that was about a bunch of Democrat. The heroes are Democrat politicians in the White House, including the president. I like the writing of the writer and creator of this show, Aaron Sorkin, so much that I'm almost able to watch this and suspend statism and like just dig it as an office, you know, an office drama. But it's really hard, man. I'll talk more about that when we get back from this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends. But we'll try to raise Mr. Zombie Barker from the dead over the break.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
I'm all set.
Train. Freedom Fiends. You know, it's not often that we have breaking news on the Freedom Fiends, but we actually do. Mr. Davi Barker just ran into the studio panting.
I am. I'm covered in sweat, and I haven't even been on the show yet.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am. Because I ran like 2 miles.
Yeah, and I said, well, we're gonna break into our regularly scheduled program for an eyewitness account. And you said, well, I'm not an eyewitness. And I said, you are, for all intents of the news. I mean, if somebody died in the accident in the train in front of you, and you know, you worked at ABC News and ran into the studio, they wouldn't say, oh, you weren't on the train that died. They'd, you know, they throw a mic on you and put you on the air right there. So, Davi, what train was it? Where was it? And what happened? What did it hit?
I was on the Caltrain headed south from San Francisco, and sort of right before the Menlo Park stop, we kind of stopped between stations, and they said, oh, yeah, the train in front of us hit a car. And so they're clearing the way, and it's going to be a while, and we need to get on the next track over because that one's blocked, and we were delayed for about an hour.
Hit a car, and these trains intersect. Not
like another car, like this is like it hit a commercial driver, sedan or something.
Do trains still have the cow catcher on the front anymore?
They don't. They have flat fronts.
There's cows. No cows. No cows anywhere. There's trains probably. Yeah.
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 So I don't know. I didn't see the damage or anything, but that's a pretty rare occurrence. It was raining pretty hard, though. I'll bet that had something to do with it.
Yeah, man. Anything else?
No, I'm just glad to be here. I was almost on time.
And, you were able to send me an email from the train and tell me you were going to be late.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in.
Live updates all the way.
Cool, glad. I mean, I'm glad you're safe. So I want to finish up really quick on, before we get into zombies, I was talking about time and how I've structured my life in a way that I don't need a watch. But actually, now that I'm on radio, I need a timepiece that's more accurate than a watch. I have to have atomic clocks that are accurate to the second. I don't need them for my whole day. I just need them when we're on the show. So I have one of those in my studio, and I encourage others. You have one, right, Chandler?
I do, but it doesn't keep the, it doesn't pick up the satellite.
Because you live too far away from Colorado, which is where the government satellite for it is, or the government transmitter. Yeah. And I live in Wyoming. And actually, occasionally it can't reach the satellite in my windowless bunker. And I have to actually take it out into the living room that faces south, that faces Colorado, and set it on the couch and hit the satellite update button. I have to do that every couple months.
Oh, see, I've actually gone like outside and stood on my porch, like, stood on my steps and held it up, and it still won't pick it up. I have to manually set it, when I'm doing a show with you.
How accurate time does it keep on its own without updating?
It's about 5 seconds behind.
Wait, you mean it gets 5 seconds behind?
Yes.
In how long?
A week, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I check it, the day that I'm doing a show, and I go to the website that has the atomic clock and manually set it.
Yeah. So I was talking about The West Wing. You ever seen that show, Davi?
I think I've seen probably one episode.
It's really square. It's about government.
It's not my style.
Yeah. It's really weird because Aaron Sorkin is a really good writer. I like his stuff. I like The Newsroom. I loved his show, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. We were talking last night about what a showrunner is. It's not the guy who runs and gets coffee for the TV crew. It's the person that runs an episodic scripted show. And there was actually a show where the hero was a showrunner, and it was an Aaron Sorkin show. It was called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Great TV. He also did a show called Sports Night. Pretty much everything he does is about media, except for The West Wing, which involves a lot of media, but it's about the president. And man, it must be a good show if I'm watching it and they have plot lines where, like, the plot is, how are we going to outlaw guns? Guns are still legal and it's horrible. Yeah. I don't think you guys could watch this show.
No.
Yeah. I might end up screaming at the television.
You might end up shooting the television or stabbing it. Yeah, so we're talking about zombies. What do you want to talk about, Dottie? Zombie Barker?
What do I want to talk about? Zombies?
Yeah.
I've been listening just today. Someone recommended a book to me that is one of the weirdest zombie books I've ever read, and it's called The Girl with All the Gifts. And it starts out sounding like some kind of totalitarian boarding school where, like, the kids are all, like, yelled at and tied up and mistreated, and then you find out all the kids are zombies.
Ooh. Well, we'll be back with more All Zombies All the Time on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market with Chandler St. Pierre and Mr. Zombie Barker, Davi Barker.
Trains!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Trains. Trains.
Meow.
Yeah, the kitties were getting bummed out that they weren't getting any airtime, so we had to bring them back, even though it's a user's manual for the zombie experience today.
And that's a great graphic. I saw that.
It is. Yeah, Crazy Rich made that. He's the we don't even ask him to make memes. He just makes them. And Davi makes memes too. So we were going to talk more about zombies, all zombies all the time, and we're talking about we do have a correction. We said yesterday on the show, I was saying when Tyrese and Carol leave that house, I couldn't see the baby, Judith. I thought they her, and then she reappears in the next season. But no, Davi went and looked at some tape. He reviewed the tape. He reviewed the game tape and discovered that Judith is clearly strapped to Tyrese's back. And if we sound like old ladies discussing our soap operas, well, so be it.
Because that's what we're doing.
Yeah, basically. All right, so you guys wanted to talk about something around that scene, huh?
Well, yeah. That episode really... I don't know. It got to me. The whole aspect of dealing with mental illness in a zombie apocalypse. And
you work with people with mental illness. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes I find myself wondering, how would these people fare in that sort of situation?
Well,
and
they would be either human shields or food, or family members would take care of them. Like the Vato old folks home in the same show, but only if family members took care of them, probably, because a reoccurring motif in the show Walking Dead is people in positions of responsibility abandoning their posts. And I really believe that would happen. Like, why would someone go to work to take care of someone else's family when the pay is probably not coming, when they want to stay home and take care of them and protect their own family? And the really telling thing, too, and I think this would happen a lot, is police and military abandoning their posts. I think that would happen everywhere. And then I've predicted in some kind of collapse that police would do that. They would stay home and protect their family, but some of them would become like the government and suddenly like create prisons and just capture people for any or no offense and treat them as slaves, like in the hospital.
Yeah. They might also steal some equipment when they go AWOL too.
Oh, I think that I think the pension for the government workers is arming them all with Glocks and a bunch of 40 cal bullets and giving them all tanks, tanks with wheels. I mean, when society breaks down and the police can't get paid and everyone who hates police starts shooting at them, which I'm not saying is a good thing. I'm just saying I think that would happen absolutely in a total breakdown of society. And I'm not talking about like political assassinations. I'm just talking about like police have made themselves so hated that I think they would be used for target practice.
Yeah, I wouldn't wear my uniform in that situation.
Yeah, I know. Rick took a while to take his uniform off, and it was kind of a big deal. Like, I'm just a man now kind of thing. But
yeah.
I think it'd be the smart thing for cops to take their uniforms off and run around. Be naked.
There are many ways in which like the zombie infection is a kind of like neurological disorder. So there may be certain kinds of mental illness that produce an immunity or produce sort of different effects of the disease.
I was kind of wondering that with schizophrenia, because schizophrenia is a very interesting. People with schizophrenia don't generally get heart disease and a few other illnesses.
Really?
That yeah.
Wow.
And you know what's really weird is the frequency of people with schizophrenia that smoke is very, very high, because it's a natural coping mechanism and it alleviates a lot of the symptoms of schizophrenia. Yet they don't, generally speaking, per capita, they don't come down with heart disease. And there's another illness too. I can't remember right offhand what it is that doesn't afflict those people. So yeah, that could very well be.
Hey, Davi, has there ever been a zombie story where there's an infection, a pandemic, and everyone becomes a zombie except people who've taken LSD?
No, but that would be really interesting.
Because LSD, because I think we're onto something there, because with what Chandler said, because LSD mimics some of the symptoms of schizophrenia. I mean, that's not propaganda. That's actual, like synesthesia and kind of out-of-body experiences and even split personality, which is not which is not when people think of schizophrenia, like they think of the movie version of it, which is, you know, totally distinct split personalities. Like generally it's schizophrenia is more like, you know, overt sensitivity to light and sound and stimulation and paranoia. And what else? You deal with people with that. What are the other symptoms, Chandler?
Manic behaviors. Sometimes you have people that will hear voices, and it's really, I took a training once when I was just starting out in the field where you had to walk around all day at this training with headphones on with people screaming stuff into your ears. Man. To see what it was actually like.
Wow.
To hear voices and everything. It was quite odd.
I wonder if that form of training is used for other things like, you know, prison guards or any kind of government stuff where people
deal. Well, it could be used to desensitize you for sure.
Yeah. You know, I heard an interesting thing recently. It was something of that studies have shown, which is always a specious thing that you hear on the radio without I just don't remember the attribution. The attribution was solid, but studies have shown that people think of privacy, like even without thinking about privacy, you know, physical privacy, and also like, you know, privacy of your documents and your emails and things like that, like knowing that your stuff isn't being read by strangers. When that's violated, it has the same effect on humans that like putting an animal in a cage has on animals. So basically, the government is trying to put you in a cage by spying on you all the time.
Right.
They're trying to simulate schizophrenia. You know, really, too, it's bizarre that like how the government is ramping up all of the like expanding the big book of crazy, you know,
DSM.
Yeah, the DSM, you know, and putting things like, you know, basically, if you don't like authority, that's a treatable.
Yeah, we need new forms of operant defiant disorder, right?
Oppositional defiant disorder. Yeah.
Oppositional.
Yeah. To where like anybody can be institutionalized, and you know, the insurance companies basically are writing that book now. But
oh, you don't want to be institutionalized? Well, that's evidence of a mental disorder.
Exactly. Exactly. And like, you know, the government just keeps throwing more and more crazy at everybody and then saying, wait, that guy's acting a little crazy. We need to put him in it. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's square.
There are many people in my profession that consider the DSM to be
the Bible.
No, pseudoscience.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot. You know, if you get into a psychiatrist's office, of course they're going to have that sitting right there, and it will be their Bible in a lot of cases. But
they're looking at it like, go ahead and talk. I have something in there for anything you say.
Yeah, pretty much, and a lot of it is just used. To sell pills, and benefit the pharmaceutical companies. But I always think back to Soviet Russia, how a lot of the dissidents were labeled criminally insane and jailed. So, and I think you see a lot of that with the propaganda around the DSM nowadays.
So, Davi, did we just outline your next zombie book for you?
I do like the idea of dosing zombies with LSD. It'd be interesting to see what would happen.
No, I like that too, but I also like the idea of the only people who don't zombify are people who've taken some illegal drug at some point in their life.
Yeah, or maybe it's like an EpiPen kind of a thing where like once you get bit, you're like, quick, give them the acid.
Give them the acid.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Yeah. Although I don't know if LSD would have a lot of an effect on the zombies in Walking Dead, because LSD doesn't act much on the brain stem. It's more on the higher parts of the brain.
Yeah.
Alcohol affects the brain
stem.
They're
all kind of too far gone at that point.
Yeah, you can tell drugs that don't bring enlightenment because they affect the lower part of the brain, like alcohol and barbiturates. And the ones that affect the higher part of the brain, like LSD and marijuana, are the ones that people always associate with enlightenment and with expanding consciousness.
Z Nation experiments with both meth zombies and Viagra zombies.
Man.
Wow.
All right, so let's get back to the show. Did you have more comments on that scene?
Yeah, the only other thing that really I consider myself, just because of my history, and I think people that, I don't want to say preppers, but you know, those of us that realize something is wrong, and that
those of us that have more than 3 days worth of food in our house and more than one box of ammo. Yeah,
right. I think I've said many times that preparing mentally is the first step in dealing with a crisis situation like that, whether it be an economic collapse, zombie apocalypse, whatever. So I think we'd fare well. But, you know, I found myself sitting there saying, you know, if that was my kid, I don't think I could have done that.
What, put them out of their misery when they zombify?
No. She had to kill...
No, Lizzie wasn't a zombie. Oh, she was just dangerous.
She was dangerous. Yeah, yeah. That was...
And you know it needs to be done, right? Because if she believes that, you know, it's okay for you to turn and everything. But I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I think at best, I would leave her to fend for herself and eventually become what she thought was okay, a zombie. So, I don't know. It put me in a moral quandary.
Do you guys know that the CDC issued a report on zombie preparedness?
Yeah.
I thought that was a joke on The Onion.
It was a joke from the CDC.
Yeah, well, it was an excuse to like kind of use popular culture to promote preparedness. But if I remember rightly, they don't say anything about weapons.
Yeah, they just say trust the government, which, you know, we know because we watch Walking Dead. We know that everyone at the CDC will abandon their post. And we do know that the CDC is not a giant laboratory for solving diseases. It's a giant office building of bureaucrats regulating other people's laboratories.
It's apparently bloggers that can't find other work. That's what it is.
Really?
Well, if they're writing press releases using zombies as an excuse for preparedness, I mean, they must realize that they aren't exactly high on people's list of priorities for organizations to pay attention to.
I just sent you guys the link right now. There's actually a zombie blog on cdc.gov. Now, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of NORAD, you know, the people that are supposedly there to keep you safe during a thermonuclear global war, but actually are probably going to start one at some point, or might, according to movies I've seen, like War Games. But every year they track Santa. You know, it's like these highly technological war machine government agencies or protective agencies or whatever you call them, like, just stopping their supposed primary mission and like, zombies. Yeah, Santa. Yeah.
Zombie Santa.
That's your tax dollars at work, man.
Worms.
This article's written by Ali Khan. Isn't he the head of the CDC? He's writing about zombies, man, in his admiral's outfit.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
All right, we're talking about the CDC and how they want to protect you from zombies. Yes,
it's kind of funny.
Remember, when you're assembling a bug out bag for the zombie apocalypse, it's important to have important documents like a copy of your driver's license, your passport, your birth certificate.
You're not going to need that in the zombie apocalypse.
According to the CDC, you do. And they're the ones who know about disease.
Well, yeah, because when they round you up into FEMA camps at gunpoint. Yeah. And they tell you should have bleach in your bug out bag. And you said that we were listening to an ad for water filters. And you said water filters would be more important than bleach to have in your bug out bag.
Yep. I'm actually kind of surprised that they don't at least show that in one of the episodes.
And they water filter, they do. Oh, you haven't seen
that
one.
They make it out of rocks and a sock or something, but
okay, a natural one.
Yeah, they don't have the Berkey tube, but
yeah, this CDC list of things to have in your, zombie preparedness kit includes
no
household bleach and no reference to weapons.
Maybe that's the
Although
weapon.
It does say a utility knife. It says utility knife and tools.
Yeah.
But no firearm, no pistol.
So
no.
The funny thing is
no crowbar.
This blog is supposedly written by Rear Admiral Ali S. Khan, MD, MPH. Miles per hour? I don't know that. He's the assistant surgeon general. Do you really think he's the guy writing? Do you think he has time running the CDC to sit around? Maybe that's he. Maybe he does. Maybe there's like
I think bureaucrats got all the time in the world to sit around and write about whatever they want.
Zombies for like.
Yeah. But I'm sure he got one of his younger assistants to help him write this.
I'm thinking about the. Did you guys ever see that thing on? It was from the Today Show, and it was really funny. It was supposed to be like Clinton in the White House in his lame duck period, and there's like nobody wants to talk to him, and there's nothing to do, and he's just like walking around the halls, and he runs into an intern named Stuart, and he ends up like Stuart shows him how to order a ham on the internet, and then they're like and then they're Xeroxing their faces. Yeah, it's probably like that at the CDC, but I was watching this show. I didn't finish the story I started before, and I usually don't do this till the next episode, but I actually remembered. I was watching this show, West Wing. It's about these Democrats in the White House. And the Surgeon General, who's a woman in this universe at the time, does a radio interview, and they ask her some questions about marijuana. And she's basically like, oh, it's not very dangerous at all. It's a lot safer than, heroin, alcohol, or tobacco. And the president asks her to resign. Like, he's like, I know that what you say is true, but it's bringing me too much political heat. You need to resign. And that's the crazy world of government, where like the top doctor in the country gives a valid medical opinion backed by fact and is asked to step down. What kind of crazy world is that, man? Because that would happen.
They can't tolerate the truth.
That probably would happen, yeah.
To their credit, there are 50 people who commented about weapons in the comment section. So good on them for holding these people's feet to the fire and saying, you guys are idiots.
It was probably 5,000 people, and they deleted all of them and just quit. They abandoned their post of deleting.
They deleted all the ones that were actually good advice and just left in the ones of people saying, what, do I need a chainsaw or something?
Probably. Yeah. So do you got anything more on this topic of the CDC?
On the CDC?
Zombie? Yeah.
No, it's just a pop culture thing. They're just, they're like every other bureaucracy, sort of languishing in obscurity and looking for some reason to be relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, man. And when something extremely game changing comes along, like Bitcoin, 5 years later, the government says, "Well, what are we going to do about this?" And it's too late, man. That's the state.
Yeah. Well, and I got to thinking too after watching the webisodes of Walking Dead today, and thinking back to some of the earlier episodes in the show, those people that relied on the state, as in life. In the zombie apocalypse, they don't fare well.
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones that all flocked to Atlanta to get napalmed because that's what the government told them to do.
Yeah. And really what the state is good for in the zombie apocalypse is looting. I mean, Rick goes and gets weapons and, takes a shower at the police station. That's all it's good for in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys ready for more zombies all the time when we get back on hour two? Never rest. All zombies. Every day, man. Every day.
Worms.
Next stop on the zombie train, hour two of the Freedom Fiends. Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. Trueshibes.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah. So Donnie, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza. On the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region, I am... Oh, my name's not important. I'm talking to Davi Barker. You there, Davi?
I am here.
And Chandler St. Pierre, are you there? Have you been contacted by zombies?
No zombies. No government.
So, I worry about cats in a zombie apocalypse. I think the ones that get out would fare pretty well because they can run faster than zombies and they can climb trees. What do you think?
Yep. Max has a cat in Survivor Max named Stinky, and Stinky fares pretty well. He lures a zombie into a playground and then climbs up the slide, so the zombie like climbs up the slide and keeps falling down. And then he just stands at the top of the slide kind of examining his enemy.
In Walking Dead, do zombies ever eat animals other than when little girls feed rats to them?
Human? They've eaten a couple of horses, a couple of dogs, and
cow.
They attacked Herschel's cattle.
And a deer. There's a deer.
And yep. A deer, yeah.
Yep, there you go.
So, do animals become zombies?
No, they seem immune.
Yeah.
It's because they've never taken LSD.
That must be it.
Yeah. So, people dose...
It's because they've never had a state. That's why.
Dose your pets and... No, I'm kidding. Don't try this at home. So, we wanted to talk about weapons in the show. And I will start by talking about fire safety. I've railed on the gun safety in this show. People can handle weapons well, but they don't handle them safely. I mean, they can handle them like they've handled weapons before, like whoever's training them just trains them to look like they're not a newbie, but doesn't tell them to not constantly point it at their friends.
Well, everyone was trained by Shane.
And I did notice he had the trigger safety thing down. He muzzle sweeped a few times, but if you look in a lot of the scenes where he's just walking around with a gun, he's always got his finger, you know, lined up along the barrel.
Yeah, he does, but a lot of cops do. But who did Shane train?
Everybody. Andrea.
Okay.
All right. Oh,
There was that whole line of them. It was Carl and Beth and Maggie and all the other farmhands.
Everyone still points guns at everyone all the time, or crossbows. There's a lot of cocked crossbows being pointed at people too.
Speaking of which, last night you guys were talking about where other people have starred in other shows and stuff from The Walking Dead. And I'm surprised you didn't get this, Davi, but both Andrea and Dale were in The X-Files. Andrea played,
really?
Yeah, Andrea had a pretty big role in season 4 and 5 in The X-Files. She played Marita Covarrubias, who was like one of the conspiracy people.
I don't know what that is.
And Dale played the scientist that found the black oil in the X-Files movie, the first one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So those two seem to follow each other around quite a bit.
Yep.
So there's a lot of bad fire safety in this show, too. There's, people making Molotov cocktails next to an open flame and things like that. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. I haven't noticed that.
Yeah. There's people do things in there that would probably get you blown up if you didn't get shot accidentally by your friends first. You know, we were talking about governments and we were talking about the state. Did you have more about weapons in there?
Oh, no, not really. There's an endless conversation about what weapons are effective and what kills are ridiculous in the show, but
yeah. Yeah, there's I guess let's talk about the state a little bit more. One of our hardcore Fiend fans, who's been a Fiend fan for a long time, who comments on almost every show and says something intelligent, is Anders from Sweden, who said, regarding The Walking Dead, a journalist in a newspaper column about the series in my country made a funny observation about American and European culture. If the zombie apocalypse occurred, Swedes would react like we did after the 2004 tsunami and exclaim, "We have not received any information." Obediently, we would line ourselves up to be vaccinated against the zombie disease, even if the injection did not help but only gave us narcolepsy. We would demand ministers' resignations while the living dead chewed through the population, because we learned that the authorities will take care of us. The American Southerners would not whine. They would go out in the woods with all kinds of guns and probably have Jesus on their side. Yeah, it's there's a real danger with trusting that the government will take care of you and not napalm you in general, I think.
Well, and if you look at a lot of the post-apocalyptic movies, I mean, just think of The Stand, if you've read the book or seen the miniseries.
I'm actually using a paperback of it and a paperback of Atlas Shrugged to hold up my my computer monitor.
Yeah, one of
there you go.
That's a good use for both books.
One of the things that I was kind of talking about with my friends and everything, I was a little disappointed that the spinoff is supposedly going to take place on the West Coast, because I think it would make a much more interesting show to show how the zombie apocalypse would affect people in the Northeast. Surviving that sort of thing in the Northeast would be a lot different than surviving it in Georgia. I mean, when you've got cold winters to contend with.
And you've got, you've also got lower population and more woods.
And more guns.
And more guns.
Man, well, Survivor Max all over, man. Survivor Max is in New Hampshire in the winter.
Yeah. Good. What is Survivor Max? Give a little plug.
Survivor Max is it's essentially Home Alone with zombies. It's my zombie novel about Max, who's an 11-year-old boy surviving by himself in the New Hampshire winter.
You can get that at shinybadges.com.
Survivormax.com.
Survivormax.com.
Cool, yeah, I told my kid that you had finished it, because I think when we went to Porkfest, you just had part of it out or a demo or something.
This year I had it finished, but the year before I only had chapters 1 through 10, and so I had them in little zine format.
Yeah, that's what she saw, and she was so excited when I told her you had finished it. She's like, "You got to get that for me for Christmas."
Yeah, excellent. Second book is going to be out soon too.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, what was this weapon that you were posting pictures of, Chandler, and people were saying it would not be good in a zombie apocalypse, and you and Davi do not concur with that assessment?
It is a Klingon Batleth, or a, I guess, a knockoff version. The original Klingon Batleth is a little more curved. This one's a little more straight, which I actually think would serve better because it's a little more like a sword. It's still a curved blade.
It's a two-ended bladed weapon. What is the country of origin of the Batleth?
The planet Klingon.
Klingon, yeah.
So there's never been something like that in Thailand or China?
No.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, it's a Star Trek original.
Yeah. I mean, I've handled that and fooled around with it quite a bit. And I really think it would be effective because, you know, the ends you can pierce, like, you know, you could hit the side of a skull and pierce the brain if you needed to.
Yeah, you've got multiple stabbing weapons. You've got two stabbing implements on each side. Yeah, and you've got a slicing implement along one edge. And then you've also got like a knuckle guard. It's almost like a brass knuckle that's like really good for shoving and blocking.
Yeah.
So, well,
and if you were
all around, it's very versatile.
Like, yeah. I mean, if you were holding that weapon two-handed and like three or four of them came at you, if you had enough strength, you could push right back. And the middle part of that blade, at least on mine, is razor sharp. I mean, you could take some heads off if you needed to.
Yeah, it seems like in the zombie apocalypse, bladed weapons are more effective and used. Has anybody done a kill count for the whole series?
No, but they do summation videos of like all the kills in each episode, and they do like a montage. So you could probably do a count from those.
I feel like a lot more zombies die in Walking Dead from being stabbed or sliced than being shot. For one reason, bullets are in short supply. Bullets are pretty much finite You know, that was something the CDC should have mentioned that they never would, is learn to cast your own bullets and make your own gunpowder out of urine and charcoal and saltpeter or bird poop, which can be done.
What?
Well, I'm not going to
make, you can make gunpowder out of. Okay.
Well, yeah. And actually it's shown
Of course, it's just sulfur and something, right?
Sulfur and saltpeter and charcoal. Yeah. And a variation of that is shown in a Star Trek episode. Remember? Where he makes a shotgun that shoots
the diamonds. The crocodile head guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The lizard people. Yeah.
Yeah. In the comic book, they do get into recasting or whatever, using bullet shells. So yeah.
I mean,
it seems like they should do that in the show eventually.
Allude to it in the episode with Terminus, too, counting and collecting all your shells.
Yeah,
so they must have been doing something there.
Yep.
Well, this is the next villain is a guy named Negan in the comic, which is a combination of Nixon and Reagan. And the reason that he's a powerful villain is because he sets up his group of survivors in a bullet foundry, an ammunition factory.
Oh.
And so he just has more ammunition than everybody else. It's not a problem for him.
I'll bet I know what their source of lead is car batteries. A car battery has a few pounds of lead in it. That's why they're so heavy. So there you go, man. And there's a lot of dead car batteries in a zombie apocalypse to loot and reclaim and recycle. Recycle your zombie weapons and your zombies.
Yeah.
I still think, though, like, as far as weapons go, I mean, I would definitely have a rifle and a handgun with me, but I would have several blades on hand because they're just so much more versatile. And you can use them for more than killing zombies.
In any survival scenario, you want to be carrying items that serve more than one function.
Yeah,
exactly. Right? Like, because every pound that you carry is going to slow you down, and especially when somebody is chasing you, that matters. So, like, you really, like, the thing to do is carry a crowbar, right? Because you have a blunt end, you have a sharp end, and you can also use it to sort of break into things. So,
no, that's why the ultimate zombie weapon that they did show in this show is a Mosin Nagant M44 carbine. It's a bolt action 5-shot rifle that can, you know, can kill a human at about 1,000 yards, and it has a bayonet, which is pretty good for sticking zombies in the brain when you run out of ammo.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's a kind of heavy wooden weapon that would function as a club if you needed to.
Sure.
So what else, Chandler?
Or as a cane, if you happen to be Herschel.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you met Herschel, huh? You met the actor who plays him.
Yeah. So I went to Walker Stalker Con in Atlanta, and I dressed up as the governor. But what I did was I walked around holding a cardboard sign that said, "Kill Daryl already." And people love Daryl. He's like the fan favorite. So I got people screaming at me, and I got people kind of giving me the sneaky thumbs up. And Scott Wilson, who plays Herschel, like laughed at my costume and came up and gave me a high five. And so I was like, cool. That must be a spoiler. He must know something that we don't.
Or maybe he's sick of the actor who plays Daryl.
Maybe. I know I am.
Well, it's funny because he said there's
I like Daryl. Herschel was my favorite character.
Is Daryl like the heartthrob? Like, do chicks dig him because he's a bad boy? He's so scummy, though. But he kind of becomes a good guy. You know, friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. Everyone's a little richer for the experience as time goes on.
Daryl is definitely a little richer for the experience.
Yeah. Worms. We'll be back.
Worms.
All zombies, all the time.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So I was looking for a picture of a hippie zombie. Davi said he didn't have one, but he said it's probably out there. So I searched it, and there's a lot of them. I like this one. It's you know, a lot of it's people painting, like Davi said, the enemies, you know, the zombie is the other. But there's actually one of, I think it is a hippie dressed as a zombie. I don't know if this is in a protest or not, but he's wearing a Grateful Dead shirt, and he's got a neck beard, and he's covered with blood, and he has a sign that says, "Live and let die."
I just saw a funny one when I googled the zombie hippies. It's due to gun control, and there's a picture of a zombie in the middle, and it says inherits earth.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Eloy will not inherit the earth. Hippies are Eloy. All right, so we want to talk about zombies as the other, and zombie apocalypse as a metaphor for the state. You want to lead on this one about the hospital, Davi?
Yeah, so well, it doesn't really happen in Walking Dead, but in a lot of zombie stories, the thing that people decide to call the zombies has a lot to do with the kind of human that they consider undesirable. And so In that sense, it reinforces the concept of the zombie as the other.
Zombies, I mean, there's a lot of metaphors for racism and, you know, like the Nazis and things where, like, suddenly there's a whole class of humans that it's not only acceptable, but encouraged to kill.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, mandatory.
Yeah.
Grady Memorial Hospital. So you start out with this like slavery scenario where the cops are running the place, and it's like this weird totalitarian thing where they claim people and they rape them and they use them as servants, and it's this nasty situation. And people try to escape. Noah tries to escape and Beth tries to escape, and people are like constantly like overthrowing people. Like they allude to a previous leader that's overthrown, and then everybody wants to overthrow Dawn, and like, so people are discontent. But then, like, when the opportunity arises, like Daryl kills Dawn, and Rick says, "Anybody who wants to leave, step forward. We're leaving now." And nobody steps forward. And so I have to believe that has something to do with Stockholm Syndrome, that it's these people, like, even though they hate it, even though they're, like, fighting to change it and kill each other over it, the moment the idea of actually going outside and fending for yourself is brought up, they're like, "Oh, no, I'm not going out there."
You know, it's kind of funny. Yeah. Stockholm Syndrome, or the idea of bonding with your captors in a kidnapping event, is based on an actual kidnapping in Stockholm, Sweden in the 70s. But it's kind of funny because our friend Anders, who wrote us about the Swedish attitude of what would happen in Sweden in a zombie apocalypse, of how they'd all line up and wait for the government to tell them what to do, kind of is Stockholm Syndrome. So Stockholm Syndrome is alive and well in Stockholm, apparently.
Right. So it's not only a condition that can be sort of acquired by anyone in captivity. It is also sort of a cultural norm in Sweden.
Yeah, apparently.
So that's what I think was the point of the hospital, was saying that these people who desperately say that they want to get out don't leave when they have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, they're domesticated, whereas, like, Rick is – he's an outdoor cat, right?
Yeah. There is a comment about indoor and outdoor cats, and somebody was amazed that we didn't comment on it. Do you want to comment on that one? What is the comment? Who says it?
Yeah, it's Joe, the leader of the claimers, when he's talking to Daryl, and Daryl's like, "No, I'm not part of your group," or whatever. And Joe says to Daryl, "There's nothing sadder than an outdoor cat who thinks he's an indoor cat."
Yeah.
And I think what he's saying is the claimers are outdoor cats. They're like feral beasts, right? And Daryl is accustomed to being in a more domesticated group. And so in a way, he's sort of saying, like, "Hey, Daryl, remember, you're kind of a wild animal. You're not this sort of like sheepdog that they've had you being the last few years, right?"
Yep.
And he kind of is. Although now he's almost like compared to like Rick, like Daryl is the collected one.
That's kind of funny. Well, you know, that is part of the hero's journey is friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. Everyone's a little richer for the experience. Like Daryl has definitely, I would give him most improved player award from the beginning. Cause he was just out of control and kind of a danger to himself and everybody and didn't have a lot of will to live and didn't have any compassion for anyone else except his brother.
He was living in the shadow of his brother.
Yeah, and his brother was a horrible person. So,
you know, the other thing, though, like these people, most people's trajectory is they start out as a civilized sort of human being before the apocalypse, and then, like, the harshness of the zombie apocalypse turns them into these brutal creatures. And their brutality is the result of, like, emotional damage, right? But Daryl was emotionally damaged before the apocalypse. He was already a brutal person before the zombie apocalypse happened. And so his brutality throughout the entire series has always been a fight for survival. He's always been like more calculating in his brutality all along. You know, he's a survivalist from the beginning. Yeah. He's not acting out of passion.
And survivalism isn't just training, it's will to live. And a lot of people, especially brutal people, don't necessarily have a lot of a will to live. Daryl has it. The flame is strong in this one.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
So, Davi, what were you saying? Yes. What were you saying about bootleg media?
Oh, I used to frequent a site. It's not around anymore. They've shut it down. But I used to go to a site that had a lot of sort of free old movies on it and stuff. And there would also be sort of pirated episodic things. And they would actually end up putting up The Walking Dead before iTunes did. And so, like, even though I had purchased the season from iTunes and I watched it regularly and repeatedly, I would still go and watch it on the pirated site because it came out first.
Well, maybe that's why they got shut down, because I know that on the Pirate Bay, people have told me that on the Pirate Bay, generally, when there's a TV show that's popular and, you know, it comes out, like, it plays it 2 hours earlier in New York than it does on the West Coast, they don't put it up on the torrents until it's done playing on the West Coast. It's like some kind of weird respect thing. I think it's kind of cool too.
Two parts to that.
But though, it goes up minutes afterwards. It's like as soon as, you know, you get points in the nerdosphere for being the first person to put up the good looking encode of it quicker than the other guy.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, part of it is it takes a couple hours to encode it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a guy, he's done a bunch of that on those sites. I know Archer was one of them. And he messed around, I guess in his spare time, he just messes around encoding recorded video. And he put up a copy of Archer that the file sizes were tiny, and it was better than DVD quality. I'm not even joking.
What was the codec?
He used Handbrake, which is, it originated on Mac.
That's a program, yeah.
Yeah, but they have their own proprietary codec. I believe it's a QuickTime codec because it started off on Mac. And but he'd do like two or three passes, and sometimes he wouldn't like the quality of an episode he did, even if it was good, and he'd just start over. Huh. But he must have had a really good computer to do that.
He probably had banks of community. That'd be a good thing to do with all the Bitcoin mining rigs that aren't useful any, or aren't profitable anymore. Use them for fast encoding of media.
Yep.
Sure. I mean, that's sort of what they were designed for originally, right? They were graphics cards and things.
Yeah, which actually would help with encoding media, I think.
You know, I heard an interesting, as a side note, you know the movie Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within? It came out 2001. It's a CGI movie.
No, I haven't seen it.
Nope.
It's not that great, especially if you're a fan of the Final Fantasy video games, which I am. But at the time, it was pretty groundbreaking for the special effects. And I interviewed one of the guys that was special effects in charge of it on the movie, and Michael Rivero, and he said that they didn't have the computing power to do that, so what they did is they bought a bunch of PlayStation 2s and stacked together the graphics engines on a board, and that's how they made a rendering machine to render it in real time.
I do remember that at one point the U.S. government considered any computer processor that, what they technically called a supercomputer, which was over a billion flops per second or something like that, which, you know, every computer we're using right now is faster than that. This was like 8 years ago or 10 years ago. They actually outlawed export of any chips or computers that did that because they considered them munitions. And yep. I think that there was a PlayStation that came out that was really coveted, you know, in Eastern Europe.
It was PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get them. Like, there was rumors that Saddam Hussein's Iraq was trying to order a bunch of PlayStation 2s to do just what I was saying.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was true or if it was just propaganda, but yeah, you couldn't order them in certain countries.
Computers so fast, they're dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know, Joe Biden tried to outlaw citizens owning high level encryption when he was a congressman or a senator or whatever he was before he was the window dressing in the White House, the spare president in the White House. But, yeah, I mean, if he'd done that, like Bitcoin would have been illegal from the start and it wouldn't have spread. But now it's spread too far and it's too entrenched and too useful that to the point where even if they outlawed it, it wouldn't go away.
Well, I mean, Bitcoin didn't necessarily start in the U.S. Who's to say that it wouldn't have gotten out and spread anyway?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So zombies. And
as far as Joe Biden goes, all you need to know is go to YouTube and type in Joe Biden in the villages. And that's all you need to know about that cat.
What will you find?
A rather hilarious video of Joe Biden intoxicated singing the theme song to the villages retirement community.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure.
So how does Bitcoin work in the zombie apocalypse?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
I mean, I think the only thing is that you can actually offline Bitcoin. So if the grid ever went back up, you could use Bitcoin. But or actually those weird little coins that had, you know, what were they called?
The Cassatius coins?
That might work.
Yeah. I guess you would have to be like betting on the network eventually going back up and there being an intact blockchain somewhere to proliferate.
I don't think any currency would work. I think everything would be barter and theft.
Yeah. I think bullets are a natural currency.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think a, you know, little 50 box of 22 bullets that cost $3.99 right now in Walmart would probably be worth more than, you know, an ounce of gold in the zombie apocalypse.
You know, one of the questions I was thinking about today was, why are there no 22s in The Walking Dead?
Yeah, it's a pretty useful weapon because you can carry a few thousand rounds with you in a backpack, whereas you know, a few thousand rounds of rifle ammo requires two people to carry.
Yeah. And, you know, my friend has one of those AR-looking 22s.
Maybe they wouldn't stop zombies.
You know? Well, if you can stab a zombie in the head with a knife, which I don't think you could do, but they seem to do a lot of it.
Or a screwdriver or whatever.
22 would certainly be useful for hunting food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think at close range, it could take care of a zombie, especially a 22 Magnum. I know a 22 Magnum could.
There's something in Boston's Gun Bible, or maybe it's in his Surviving Y2K book, where he's talking about the usefulness of 22 rifles and how cheap they are and how useful they are and how cheap the ammo is. And he's like, don't poo-pah them. They're not, they're not a battle rifle, but, they can hunt for food. The ammo is cheap and available. It describes a few other, the rifles are cheap. You can pick them up for $100 each, or you could when the book was written. And he said, they won't necessarily stop somebody coming at you intent on, one shot won't stop somebody as quickly as a rifle will, or even a 44 Magnum, a high-ish powered handgun. But he was talking about defending property, and he said that they're good for young people and older, like senior citizens. And he said, not many people will want to come onto a property when four or five youngsters and old folks are firing at them from a distance with 22s. It's just I like the mental image of that, of grandpa, grandma, and 3 7-year-old grandchildren all firing Marlin 60s, at the interlopers at the edge of the property.
It's still a heck of a deterrent. I mean, there's no caliber that it's fun to get shot with.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And 22s often kill people, but it takes a while. It can take a while. I mean, a 22 in the brain will generally stop somebody dead because it has enough power to go into the head, but not enough to exit. So it basically pithes you. It basically ricochets around a few times and destroys a lot of brain mass. But yeah, they're not the best self-defense weapon because people can survive for a minute or two being shot most places on their body with a 22 and continue to kill you. They won't stop you like a 9mm or a rifle bullet will just stop you dead generally. But people die of sepsis when they're shot at 22s because the bullets are kind of greasy and they get a lot of dirt on them. So yeah, it could take a while though.
Speaking of 9mm, did you see the study that was recently released by, I think it was the FBI, how 9mm are the best caliber and they want to start switching everyone, all their federal agents back over to 9mm?
Good. Maybe they'll sell us all the 40 cal cheap that they bought with our tax money. Why? Who did this study and what did they decide?
It was the FBI, the ballistics division or whatever, or maybe they commissioned somebody to do the study. But basically, the main thrust of it was that 9mm had less wear and tear on a gun, so it extended the life of a gun.
That's weird because about 20 years ago, the FBI commissioned a study that decided that 40 cal was the best bullet for sidearms. I think it is. That's what I carry. Because
that's what I carry too.
It's a little more power than a 9mm, and you can carry more bullets in a clip in a mag than you can of a 45. So yeah, it's a nasty little bullet, man.
I guess it depends on the gun too, though, because I've shot Taurus 9mm that have more of a kick than my Springfield Arms 40 cal.
You know what bullets have killed more people throughout history?
What bullets?
For handgun, it's 38 caliber, mainly because that's what the police carried for about a century. And it's what a lot of people had.
Excuse the statistics.
Yeah. And because it's what a lot of people had in their home for home defense who weren't really gun people before the kind of explosion of gun culture that started in the 90s. A snub-nosed 5-shot revolver, 38 has killed a lot of people. 22s have killed a lot of people, but generally accidentally. And the bullet that by far has killed more people than anyone is the rifle bullet, the 7.62x54, the Mosin bullet, because it was used by several countries in World War II as the rifle bullet and also the machine gun bullet. Yep. And, the guns, I'll say it again. The guns have a bayonet that's really good. The rifles have a bayonet that's really good for sticking zombies in the brain. So, zombies and the state. You guys want to talk some more about that?
Yeah. So, this is why Negan is my favorite villain, and I'm really anxious to see him on the show, because he is the state in the comic book. Like, he just is. So, his main thing, so he operates out of an abandoned ammunition factory, and his group is called the Saviors. and what they do is they approach existing compounds, they kind of clear trade routes and clear zombies out of your area so you're not being harassed, and then demand half of your resources whether you want it or not.
So they're taxing people.
Yeah. And they just want obedience. Negan is really all about obedience.
You know, taxing is anarcho-communist slang for being robbed. Like, if you get mugged, they'll say, "Oh, I got taxed when I went out last night."
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
All tangents all the time. And before I turn it over to Davi and Chandler, with Davi leading the redemption in the third act, I did want to say there's an announcement. Fiend Phone now exists. Not ready for primetime or public release yet, but Derek did a bunch of programming and came up with a proof of concept one, and he and I did some tests yesterday. If you go to fiendphone.com, there's a screenshot and some information on where we're going from here. We do still take donations for Fiend Phone at fiendphone.com. Fiend Phone is a piece of software that we're working on to basically replace Skype. It's going to be free software for podcasters and radio people to be able to connect to remote hosts in real time in higher quality than Skype, without all the muckety-muckety of Skype and the problems that it has. So, Davi, what do you got, brother?
You know, I think the zombie apocalypse is kind of the anarcho-primitivist, heaven or Limp Hair or whatever.
It's where the move people would have gone and lived if they could have.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this. We were talking about herbs during the break, and it's like you would have to revert to these. Like, eventually they're going to run out of the sort of the capital of the old system, right? Yeah. And they're gonna run into the problem of we're gonna have to only use what we can manufacture.
Yeah, there's not aspirin, but there is what's the plant aspirin comes from?
Aloe or something? I don't know. I don't even know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of interesting. They sort of alluded to that a little bit with like the willow bark tea or whatever it was.
Willow bark.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
So Herschel was treating that weird flu that swept through the prison with his weird tea and soup or whatever.
tea and soup.
And there's that scene where Herschel is like, "Yeah, Rick, these plants won't grow well because they're here in the shade. But if you pluck them out and you put them right here in the shade, then they'll grow fine."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, you know, the real point is you could not survive for long alone in the zombie apocalypse. You'd have to share, you know, protection of each other, because two people against a bunch of zombies is better than one. And just knowing things, you know, like not everybody knows everything about survival or building a society.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, regular things start taking people out. Like, if you think about, like, before the flu in the prison, there was Andrea when she ran off alone after the farm. She had a flu that would have killed her if Michonne hadn't been around to defend her and bring her water and aspirin and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and
like,
it was elderberry tea.
Elderberry tea.
Okay. Yeah, but willow bark does contain the same ingredient as aspirin, is what I'm saying.
But, you know, any of these things that, like, you know, 1,000 years ago killed humans by the thousands, like, those are all, you know, there's no vaccines anymore. Those are all going to become an issue again.
Well, and I think it's a lot of what we've been talking about for years, that it's all good and well to stock food and stock ammunition and all that stuff. But if you don't build your skill base and prepare yourself mentally, you're not going to fare well in any type of collapse. So, you know, if you have books on your shelf about natural cures and you start now just like growing a few herbs in your backyard and learning about that, learning how to cultivate them, in a situation like this, you're going to be all the much more valuable and your skills will be in much more demand.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about the learning things. Like, you know, if my neighbor has like a little victory garden in the backyard, and he probably spends more money growing it than he does, you know, than he makes it, because he goes and gets hay to make the little rabbit barricade around it, and he, you know, does a lot of stuff. But it's a hobby. He's retired, and, you know, he gets some fresh vegetables out of it. And he probably, you know, the way he does it, he probably spends more money doing it than he would pay for the vegetables. But he's learning to garden, which would be a really useful thing if there weren't supermarkets.
You know, if they do introduce an herbologist kind of character, do you think they're going to be like a new age hippie, like crystal crunchy granola person?
Of course,
like,
they will.
Like, because that would be really funny too. Like, did you know that amethyst wards off the zombies? Like,
I was just saying, I think if the person was straight up hippie, I don't think they'd last very long. But if they were like, you know, hippie with a rifle, like, what's his name? They might last a while.
Yeah. I'm for that. I would like to see a hippie with a rifle on the show.
Well, there is a hippie with a rifle on the show. We talked about that yesterday. What's the guy's name? I can't remember the character's name.
I don't remember.
The guy with the fishing hat.
Oh, Dale.
Yeah, he's kind of a hippie.
I mean, like a real crystal granola hippie with a rifle.
Yeah, someone who's read the Whole Earth catalog.
Someone who knows the chakra reading of lead. That's what I want.
It's been a great show, y'all. Thank you, Chandler. Thank you, Dobby. Glad you got
out. Thank you for your service.
Glad you saw the light and got out of the tunnel tonight, Dobby.
Yeah.
And we'll be back tomorrow with more All Zombies All the Time.
I'll be here.
Worms.
Worms.